Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
The one key copywriting skill you need but might not even know about. So sometimes copy fails because it's just not well executed enough. And also other times copy simply misses the mark. It doesn't align with the target prospects and what's on their minds. And that won't do well either. But you can have all the fundamentals in place and all done well, and sales can still fail to happen. Why? That would be because the strategy behind the copy was weak or even non-existent. And today, we're talking about a blind spot that kills a lot of otherwise good copy, and how our special guest today, Jamie Thompson, coaches copywriters on how to see what others miss entirely. That would be, of course, strategy and strategic thinking. Jamie's a seasoned pro. Headquartered in Edinburgh, Scotland, he's been writing copy for 10 years and counts among his clients such giants as Amazon, USAID, and Lenovo. But he's had many other clients, over 500 in all, and he's made it his mission to teach copywriters how to think like strategists. 80% of Jamie's clients come back for return engagements. So you'll definitely want to know some of what he knows, just as you undoubtedly want to know that copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear on this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So, Jamie, welcome and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much for having me, David. I've been a fan of the show for a while and it's nice to be a part of it.
Yeah, well, glad to have you here. So let's get right into it. We got so much to cover. What is strategic thinking and why is it so important for copywriters, in your opinion? I mean, could you give us an example of how a copywriter would approach a problem without using strategic thinking, and then how they would approach it if they knew how to think strategically?
Yeah, so, you know, I think without strategic copywriting, a copywriter might be tempted to just jump in and start writing from intuition without really understanding the purpose behind the copy. And in those instances, all you're really doing is second guessing what the client wants and what the copy needs to say. Whereas when strategic thinking is involved, it's starting from a place of purpose. You know, what is the purpose behind the project, rather than simply trying to make the copy sound good. So it's about taking a step back and asking the right questions and understanding the motivation for the project in the first place. You know, to me, strategic copywriting is a more holistic approach. You know, it's not just focused on execution. It's more about getting the results that the client is looking for.
And what kind of differences have you seen when people stop just writing from their gut and start thinking strategically before they put pen to paper or fingers to keyboard?
I would say the main result is that you end up getting copy that fulfills a specific purpose and ultimately is more effective and it gets the results that a client wants. You know, going through like a sort of strategic framework process, it helps cut down on rewrites after you've sent that first draft. Because inevitably, as part of the strategy, the client is involved as well. And so they are more likely to understand your thinking behind the process and, you know, why you've structured it in this order or why you've chosen this particular word. So it ultimately leads to less rewrites and happier clients.
Great. So what kind of challenges does people, depending on AI too much, present that strategic thinking can fix?
So I think the main challenge at the moment is that, you know, as a result of the rise in automated writing tools, there's a lot of similar sounding copy out there on websites. And strategic thinking solves that by getting to the purpose of the project. You know, it helps differentiate brands in a saturated space where, you know, a lot of companies end up sounding the same. You know, I think there is this kind of impression or like trend at the moment that people think more words and more volume equal better results. And obviously ChatGPT and other tools can produce words at volume, but that's really all it can do. It can just produce words, but it's the thinking that goes in that makes the difference. So, you know, to my mind, you know, strategy helps define the purpose of a project. And then, you know, if you're using AI to do the execution, then fair enough. But the main challenge it solves to me is it makes copy more purposeful, gives it more intention, and differentiates a brand in their industry.
Okay, good. So you've said that strategy is often what clients are paying for, even though they don't ask for it directly. What did you mean by that, and how did you figure that out?
Yeah, so I'm not necessarily asked to provide strategy to clients. Normally what they ask is for better copy. And ultimately, I think what makes better copy is the strategic thinking that comes beforehand. So if you're able to get involved in a project earlier, then you get the opportunity to shape the brief and to influence the outcome. So strategy, it defines the purpose of the project, and it helps ultimately get better results. You know, to give an example, I had a client in the construction industry who came to me recently with a draft of a website they had written using AI. And I could tell straight away it had been AI written. It was very generic and very corporate sounding. And they wanted me to rewrite it. So rather than just jumping in and, you know, guessing what the client wanted to sound like, I hosted a workshop with the client where we helped define their brand values, their tone of voice, and we sort of mapped that to customer touch points. And as a result of that, the output that we got from the workshop, that helped inform the final copy. And now that construction company has a website that's far more aligned with their brand values, and it makes them stand out in the marketplace. Whereas without it, you probably would have ended up with a more human-sounding website, but ultimately it wouldn't have performed as well as it will in the future because it doesn't have their personality, their tone, and that intent behind it.
Yeah, so what I'm getting from you is one important outcome or maybe side benefit of strategic thinking is unique positioning. It's sort of going to come automatically, yeah?
Yeah, that's it. I think, you know, ChatGPT and automated writing tools, they're very good at producing words quickly, but it's a technology of averages. So it'll take the average of everything else that is out there, and that's what it'll present you. And, you know, that's fine if you want your company to be average and to sound like everyone else. But right. In most cases, people want that differentiator. So it's about the input more than it is about the output. And the input, it's things like unique selling points and value propositions, you know, the people behind the business, because that's all about company culture. And ChatGPT doesn't really understand the nuances of that. So, yeah, strategy is the one thing that helps align that and helps produce like uniqueness for companies, I believe.
I want to add a real-world example of this. A client that I'm working with right now, they provide executive protection services for ultra-high net worth individuals. And since it's a protection service, ChatGPT wants to lean in on pain points, be afraid, here's all the threats, here's the tigers in the bushes. These people didn't get to where they were by constantly thinking of all the negative things. They're very positive mindset people. They're very much can-do attitude people. So that messaging, which would normally work for security services, will not resonate with them. So the strategy there, we had to completely tell ChatGPT, hey, your strategy is way off. And then you mentioned the law of averages. It kept coming up with words like luxury and VIP. And these words come off as branding. They come off as mass marketing. They're the words that normies use to describe this audience. But this audience hates. They cringe when they hear these words. And so just trusting ChatGPT and not having that strategy behind it, such an important thing, and I don't think enough copywriters realize how far off the target ChatGPT will get them if they're not doing the things you're talking about.
Yeah,
that's a great example. Yeah, that's a great example of ChatGPT being a technology of averages. Yeah.
Well, let's get down to brass tacks, shall we? You teach freelancers a 5-stage process for bringing structure, and I think structure is strategy, to their client work. Could you very briefly walk us through your 5-stage process?
Yeah. So I realize strategy is one of those things that can feel a little bit intangible. And it's often dismissed as just thinking time, which it kind of is. But what I do is I wrap a framework around it, and it's a 5-step process. And the first step is brief the business case, which is about getting to the purpose behind the project in the first place. The second stage is frame the funnel, which is about understanding where this piece of copy fits in to the customer journey. The third stage is structure the story, which is about, you know, determining the overarching narrative of the copy and the flow of it. And then the fourth stage is manage the messaging, which is all about messaging hierarchy, making sure the most important messages appear first, and also being aware of customer touch points and where customers might have objections in the copy and making sure that you're raising them first. And then finally, the fifth stage is craft the copy, and that's the execution. So the writing, the editing, and the proofreading. And wrapping that framework around the idea of strategy, it avoids, you know, copywriters writing blind, essentially, and second guessing what they think the client wants to hear or what they think the copy should say. And ultimately, it ends up that the copy gets better results because it meets the expectations of all the stakeholders that are involved.
I love that phrase, writing blind, because I've never heard it before, and it's never really made sense outside of this context as much. I mean, and to many people who write, it probably feels like that. Well, I guess I better just sit down and write and see what comes out. Yeah, not always such a good idea if you don't have some direction and some parameters, some guardrails, some, you know, priorities. And what you're talking about here sets that up really nicely in a 5-point system. So you've worked with big organizations like Amazon and USAID, but now you're mentoring newer copywriters. What is the biggest mindset shift that you help them make?
So I think the biggest shift is changing their perception of themselves as being wordsmiths to actually being contributors to their clients' businesses. You know, like, especially now, like, clients are buying outcomes. They're not buying sentences because they can get sentences from automated writing tools. So I think that also goes hand in hand with, like, a mindset shift that is needed in terms of questioning. You know, it's okay to ask clients questions. And I think as a new copywriter, you can sometimes feel hesitant because, you know, you're maybe self-conscious and you're maybe not confident in your ability. And you think, if I ask the client too many questions, they're going to think I don't know what I'm doing. But actually, the reality is the more questions you ask, the better you are at uncovering what the client actually wants. And if you can get yourself involved in a project earlier, then you get the opportunity to ask those questions and to get really solid on the brief. And a lot of the time, you know, clients don't necessarily know what they want. They know that they need a copywriter, And they know that they need this thing written, but they don't necessarily understand why they need it. And so asking lots of questions can help uncover that purpose.
I'm so glad you mentioned questions. And, you know, we haven't even talked about this, but you and I both share a background of having been journalists before we became copywriters. And one of the things journalists learn is there's no shame in asking questions, but there's a lot of shame in not asking questions if you consider being unemployed shameful, because you have to ask questions in order to get information to write stories as a journalist. And I don't always remember that if people don't have that kind of background, I mean, there are only a few professions. There are cops, there are doctors, there are lawyers, tax collectors. There are only a few professions in the world where people are trained and encouraged to ask questions. And, some people think that it's childish or something. So I'm really glad you brought that up, because it's so important, and it's something a lot of copywriters don't do, or don't do very well, or don't do enough, even if they do it well. Let's drill down a little. What kind of questions should copywriters be asking at the start of a project to uncover strategic insight?
So I think you need to be asking the type of questions that go beyond, you know, how do you want to sound? I mean, tone of voice and, you know, personality, all that is very important, but to me, it's more on the execution side of things. Whereas on the strategy side of things, I think copywriters need to be asking questions like, what is the purpose of the copy? Where does it fit into the wider funnel? What call to action do you want the reader to take? How will the success of the copy be measured? You know, is it about click-through rates? Is it about sign-ups? You know, is it about making direct sales? And these questions, they do sound quite simple, but they are the type of questions that uncover a client's real needs. Because often a client doesn't really know what they want to achieve from the project. So yeah, asking questions beyond surface level questions in relation to how it should sound or how it should look on the page.
Those are great questions, I agree. And yeah, once you have answers to those and you can plug them into what you're doing, it's going to make such a difference in the results and in the client comfort level with what you've written for them. So let's talk about AI another way, okay? I totally agree with you that unless you really give it a lot of intention and nuance and context, it's just going to come up with some average generic crapola. But with AI becoming more capable now, not just of writing, but of handling execution, where's the big opportunity for copywriters?
So, yeah, I think because that market for execution is shrinking, then the opportunity is in solving customer problems. You know, I think it's about adding value by defining the purpose of a project and getting clarity on what you're looking to achieve. And essentially connecting the dots between, you know, how the copy fits into their wider marketing strategy. And yeah, the way to do that, I think, is to ask questions. And that's where the opportunity lies. And in my opinion, thinkers are harder to replace than wordsmiths. And you know, that kind of echoes the sentiment of one of your previous episodes, actually, where you interviewed Kath Rehorn, where she made the point that, you know, ChatGPT is good at analyzing, it's good at finding trends, and it can organize information, but only if human thinking comes first. And that's very much my approach to it as well. You know, ChatGPT is a tool, but without the thinking coming first, then it is kind of made redundant.
Key point. And yeah, Kath had some great things to say about AI, including that. And I think she understands the necessity of the human directing the process, as do you, as you just mentioned. You have a free email course that helps freelancers strengthen their strategic process or maybe develop it from the ground up. What does the course include, and how has it helped people?
I do, yeah. So it's the course is called Think Like a Strategic Copywriter. It's a free course that's delivered by email over 5 days, and it aims to make that mindset shift that we were talking about earlier. So It helps copywriters like develop better briefs for themselves based on what the clients tell them. And it helps them develop strategic habits and introduces the idea of messaging hierarchy and charging for strategy, you know, as a service in addition to the execution. And yeah, it's there's an assignment at the end of it as well, so that you know you can apply what you've learned and put it into practice, and then you have something to show for it. It's part of a portfolio piece if you're a new copywriter. It's available through the website, brandnewcopy.com.
Yes, we will put a link to that in the show notes and mention it again. One other question I think is important. If someone is listening right now and they're thinking, well, I'm not a strategist, what would you say to them?
I would say that if you already have copywriting clients, you'd be surprised that you may actually already be offering strategy. It's just that you're not framing it in that way and you're maybe not charging for it. Like any kind of consultation that you have with a client, like at the start of a project, you might have a Zoom call, maybe asking them a few questions or getting a brief from them. Inevitably, you're going to be giving them some thoughts. And to me, that's all valuable to them. So that essentially is strategy. If you are able to, you know, wrap it up in a way using a framework that you can like almost sell as a workshop, then that to me is the easiest way to do it. And that's how I approach it with clients as well. Like I organize like a 2-hour Zoom call and usually have a few slides ready. I would do a bit of competitor research beforehand and, have certain points prepared and essentially take them through the slides and ask questions and maybe add in a few exercises if it's like a tone of voice workshop, for example, and charge for that separately in addition to the execution.
But they must like that, right? I mean, you know, so many copywriters in my experience and from what I hear kind of take the opposite approach. I mean, this may be outdated, but back in the day, I knew this guy. He was A-list copywriter and had some real big hits, but his communication with the client was, send me the research and then don't call me for 2 months, you know, and there was no communication. So I don't think that would fly these days. I mean, maybe if you got the eccentricity cred, you know, you can pull that off, but that's not what most people want, right?
Yeah, unless you are a sort of torture genius, I think it's all about communication. Clients do appreciate you having like those touch points with them.
Yeah.
And like for that reason, I'm a big fan of skeleton drafts, which is kind of like a bridge between the brief and the first draft. So you're almost like providing them with like a suggested structure and some notes on how you would approach a project and getting their feedback on that first. And that gives them an opportunity to be involved early before they even receive a first draft. And it's just having those touch points along the way that I think a client really appreciates. And ultimately, I think it leads to a better result because the client feels like they have actually been involved in the process. You know, they haven't simply given a copywriter a brief and a couple of months later received 10 pages back that they think is okay, but they're maybe not quite sure. Whereas if you're in constant communication with them, you're explaining your thought process, and it gives them an opportunity to question what you're doing as well.
Yeah. One thing I'd throw in there is with the skeleton draft, it's very tempting to say et cetera or leave typos in there or in other ways be very casual like you were talking to a buddy. Not a good idea. I mean, I learned this from Joe Schrieffer at Agora, where when copywriters would pitch an idea to him, he didn't want half-baked ideas or conceptual stuff. He said, I want you to pitch it to me like I'm the end customer and your two-line pitch is going to make me want to buy it. And I think that, you know, you should apply the same kind of thinking to something like a skeleton draft. Make it as professional and error-free and glistening and intriguing as possible. Don't just show them your random thoughts in the middle of the night.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, approach it like a pitch deck. Essentially, like, in a lot of cases, a skeleton draft will be like 85% of the way there to being a first draft.
Yeah.
You're making the key points that you'll be making, and you're presenting it in a very, very polished way. Just, you maybe aren't establishing the tone of voice or the exact language that you'll use, but it gives you an opportunity to present your thinking.
It's more logical and neutral rather than personal and customized, right?
Yeah, that's it. Because, like, a lot of the time, if you're just showing your notes or your scribbles, it doesn't make sense to anyone but you. So
the guy says, I'm paying this guy $10,000 for what?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, that's a very good point.
I'm going to add to that. When you're the person tasked with selling the thing, not just the person providing or creating the thing, you look at it a lot differently. You're looking for things. What makes this unique? What's the desirable difference? What's the emotional state? Is the person we're selling to more in a scarcity mindset or an abundance mindset? All of these things that you have to think of that play into the strategy as the copywriter, as the marketer, that you never even have to think of as the business owner or the inventor of the solution. That right there is a very valuable reframe that if you can communicate that, all of a sudden you become instantly more valuable, and they don't want to get rid of you. They don't want to pay you the 10 grand and then never hear from you again. They're like, hey, can we bring you back on for this next project? Can we have you come on and write these next series of emails? If you're just, hey, give me the data and I'll write it and you'll hear back from me in 2 months, you're missing out on a huge opportunity to provide extra value and then get extra value in return. So I love all of this that you guys have been talking about today.
Yeah. Let's talk about how people can reach out to you if they want to email you. You want to share your email and we'll put it in the show notes too?
Yeah. So it's jamiethompson@brandnewcopy.com.
Okay.
Yeah, feel free to reach out, and any questions anyone has about strategy, then get in touch.
Okay. And Thompson is spelled without a P, right? jamiethompson@brandnewcopy.com. And then you got your free email course, Think Like a Strategic Copywriter. And we'll put the link in the show notes there.
Perfect. Awesome.
Jamie, thank you so much for coming on today, man. This was a fantastic episode. Listeners, if you want the easiest way to find Jamie's website, just go to copywriterspodcast.com. We'll have a link in the show notes for you there. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.